Have you ever been part of or led a project where conflicts seem to lurk around every corner, threatening to distract your team's harmony and project success? Today, and I do mean today, we're going to unravel the art of conflict management in project environments, blending a little bit of PMBOK with a little real-world scenario. So, I challenge you and I ask of you, don't let conflicts destroy your project. Make a decision today. I'll give you till tonight to think it over, but in the morning, I need you to take action to be a resolution champion your team needs. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job today is to be able to unpack today's amazing topic, which is conflict resolution discussion. How to manage team conflict. Do you mind if I share a story with you, family? You see, one of the things about conflict is I used to have the adage, and I kind of still do it, but I'm getting a little bit better with this, that all conflict is not bad. See, what conflict does is really pushes you to either do one of the two things, either address it or hide it under the rug. Because conflict also allows you to see things that maybe you weren't really paying attention to because maybe you had your head down and you were working. So I remember this situation where I had this stakeholder that I'm leading up the project meeting, and he would always show up 5 to 10 minutes late, and he would say, well, what are we talking about? Like, as soon as he got on a call, doesn't matter who was talking, he would disrupt the call and say, okay, what are we talking about? And because of his title, we got caught up in the whole title. Well, I say we, but I was at a point where one time was already good enough. But when he did it for the second time, I jumped on it immediately. And I said, hey, after the call, can I talk with you about the project? There's some things that I want to discuss. And the reason why I did that, family, instead of saying addressing him, you know, in a public forum like that first, is because I needed to get an understanding of why does he come to our meetings and disrupt the meeting, where there's always a meeting recap. There's always a way he can talk to anyone if he missed something, if he had maybe a meeting that was right before it and it ran over. So there wasn't really any excuse for him to do this. So when I pulled the gentleman to the side, I asked him, I said, why do you come on our meetings 5 to 10 minutes late every time we have a meeting, and then you disrupt the continuity of the meeting as we're having a really good discussion? He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was a problem. He's like, sometimes my team doesn't keep me updated, so I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. You see, there was the problem right there. And again, family, in conflict, you have to, especially if you're the project manager or a coordinator, you have to leverage active listening to a level that you've never done active listening before. Because right then and there, he told me what the issue was, what was forcing him to respond and react the way that he did when he jumped on calls. This is a team thing. Meaning his team is not giving him the information that he was expecting of them. So today, family, as we walk through these 8 points, I'm going to say there's no right answer that's going to fix any conflict, because you have to keep in mind, it all depends on the people. The people have to have an open mind when you are going through a conflict resolution, or basically there is a conflict. Because if you don't have the opportunity to work with someone who has an open mind to talk about the conflict that they have with you, or you have with them, it truly would be useless. So I'm not going to shoot these theories and these various ways to resolve conflict, but I want to give you some tips if you ever run into conflict on your project, or you're the project coordinator and you're assisting the project manager or leading a project. What are some things you should probably, my recommendations of what you should do to address it? So let's get into what PMBOK talks about. So PMBOK has five conflict resolution techniques, and this is according to the PMBOK, and is withdraw and avoid. Now, the withdraw and avoid is useful in situations where conflict does not provide a path to a constructive outcome or when cooling off periods are needed. Then you have smooth and accommodate. This is basically more or less effective in maintaining team harmony and when issues at a hand is more important to the other party. Now you have compromise and reconcile, which this basically means this is really a quick temporary solution that's needed for both parties to agree on, but don't, so they won't give up, in so many words. And then you have force and direct, where this can be required because maybe there was a lot of choices being made and it needs to be a really decisive response and an action that's going to require an unpopular decision among everyone. And number five, which PMBOK definitely recommends that we leverage as project managers, project coordinators, program managers, etc., collaborate and problem solve. That's why I always tell you, family, one of the biggest things you want to learn in project management, if I had to pick two, is communication and problem solving. There's many more, but again, collaborate and problem solve. This is the most encouraged approach, according to PMBOK, aiming at a win-win solution by integrating various viewpoints. So I wanted to give you the PMBOK version of it. Now I'm going to give you some real life of things of how I've addressed it, or I've watched other project managers or coordinators address it through my years of experience. So here's the first one. You need to identify and address potential stress points early. What does that mean? Family, that means when you see an issue on a project, you need to get in front of it fast. One of the things I recommend is creating, ensuring that you do a kickoff meeting on a particular project. Map out, one of the things I've seen this one project manager do, and I give you a shout out on that, because I definitely did model that from you. What I did was, especially if there's a project that you run, let's say that you run every year, matter of fact, scratch that, even if you don't run it, this particular project, this framework will be useful for you. So one of the things that I've done is build into my kickoff deck some of the things, stress points that I've experienced over the years and how they will be addressed on this particular project. So right away, you're already attacking what the problem is from the get-go. So there's no gray area. There's no pie in the eye, or there's no miscommunication. I'm communicating to you now. If this comes up, this is how we're going to address it, around resources, around time, around cost, around the quality. So this is a very important thing. Family, while we're on that topic, I still want to ask you, what is the single biggest challenge you're having in project management? Leave it in the comments. I would love to hear it. And I may even make a video off of your particular comment. All right, let's move on to point number two. Set expectations early and often. And again, set expectations early and often. Reason why I say that you need to do this, family, is because expectations has a tendency to shift. They have a tendency to change. So what the expectations were a month ago, they may have changed because of the project need. Sometimes what happens is, and I've seen this personally as well as on projects, is that we forget to talk about the new expectations because of how the project shift. And we're thinking that people should know. No, they shouldn't know. They shouldn't be a mind reader. What they should do is be able to be open to listen to how the expectations have shifted, and you need to articulate that out to the particular project team. Point number three, establish and lead with open communication. Listen, you need to have an open communication where team members or stakeholders can express their concerns, provide feedback, and this is going to reduce misunderstanding. Now, here's the caveat. This is where this gets dangerous. If someone is giving open feedback on you, I would say don't take it personally, but that wouldn't be smart of me to say that. So what I will say to you is, when you hear the feedback, take a minute to digest what is being said about you. Is it about you or the work output that you're providing? either way, you're still connected to both. So once you understand what is being said about you, again, take a step back before you move forward, because what you don't want to happen is you become emotionally involved and coming from more of an emotional response than more of a factual, more of a strategic response. And trust me, we've all done it where we're responding emotionally because we felt under attack. We're trying to defend ourselves, which is nothing wrong with that. However, you want, especially if you're in a professional environment, which I believe most of you are, if you're watching this information, listening and watching this information, you want to ensure that you're leading with facts, that you're leading with no opinions. These are just the facts of why you did what you did or you're doing what you're doing. Point number four, encourage team bonding to build trust. You know, one of the biggest things I used to love doing was doing team bonding. Team bonding meaning that it could be, say, hey guys, you know what? We're gonna take the rest of the day off and we're gonna go to a event park, or we're gonna do a virtual online, escape room, because I've also seen those. I've actually done a team building on a physical escape room. And it's, you know what's so funny? I learned more about the people that I never would normally have conversations with than I ever had, because some of these were executives and it was, I mean, man, it was so much fun. It was fun because we got to know the person outside of work. We got to understand their temperament. And then that allows you to understand like, oh, okay, so you're really not that person. This is just how you are at certain moments. So how do I get you to give me a blend of both so we can move forward in this project? All right, point number five, focus on solutions, not blame. That was one of the things that I had to learn. You know, I always share with you about how my mom was saying, it's also in that book about you have to pick and decide when you're going to fight your battles, because every battle that comes up against to you is not a battle you should fight. You're going to have to pick and choose and pick. And I say also pick and decide, because again, you want to be prepared if you are attacked, but you really want to focus on the solution. Yeah, this person is talking crazy. Yeah, all right, I get you. How do we resolve it? See, when you put somebody back on their feet, like, okay, well, how do we resolve it? Since you have all of these issues, all of these problems with me or with the team, how do you think we should resolve it? Now the ownership is back on them, and now they spent so much time focusing on what the problem was, they didn't even have time to focus on what the solution is. So you want to lead with a more focus on solution than actually placing blame all the time or just in general, because it's not going to do either one of you no good, especially if you're on this project for a while. It's not even going to be worth it. Point number six, recognize and reward collaborative behavior. Listen, recognizing and rewarding teamwork and through effective conflict resolution really truly reinforces positive behavior. It gives a chance, you have the opportunity to eliminate the toxicity in the work environment or the work space, meaning your project, because now individuals will see, oh, okay, so I'm rewarded, I'm appreciative of resolving conflict on a positive note, meaning that we are addressing what the issue is, I'm hearing the person's concerns, and then we're talking about a proposed solution. Point number seven, seek external mediation for unresolved conflicts. Listen, if you've done point one through six and there's nothing that you've been able to do, here's the final two that I truly believe is your next steps. And these steps here, unfortunately, can they may not turn out the way that you want them to turn out, because something is going to have to happen when you do point number seven, which is seek external mediation for unresolved conflicts. Listen, some conflicts are going to require external mediators to resolve because they're going to have an impartial take on what is actually going on. If you two can't come together, you need to get someone that can step in. And this is sometimes also, I've also used this where it doesn't really have to be somebody that is with a mediator company or something of that nature. It could be somebody within the organization that doesn't have, as they say, doesn't have any skin in the game or a fight in the in this particular conflict that is going on. So they can look at it very impartially and say, hey, you know what? ED, you was wrong there. I kind of agree with what John is saying. John does have a good point of the reason why he brought this to you. And you're like, okay, sounds good. So this really, again, it makes it easier to have the conflict discussion. All right, point number eight. After you've done everything 1 through 7, you're going to want to reflect and learn from every single conflict that you have. Why do I say every single conflict? Because after you get past the emotional aspect, the frustration aspect, the aspect of where you want to whoop some, okay, I'm sorry, I went a little too far with that. But the point I'm trying to make, family, is that you want to be able to look back and say, what did I learn? How could I have handled that better? Is there something that I could have done differently? What am I going to do if this happens to me again? These are ways that you can continue to get better. So when conflict happens, which is going to happen, I'm sorry, but it's going to happen, especially in a project, you need to be able to figure out what you've been through in order to move forward of to address particular conflicts. Here's my bonus for you today, family. Facilitate a constructive disagreement using a collaborative technique. What is that? What are you talking about there? What I mean by that, family, is really having the ability to create innovative solutions. Don't just go with the same plain Jane solution. Well, I'm not going to talk to him. That's not a solution. I don't want anything to do with it. That's still not a solution. A solution is saying, hey, I know where you stand. You know where I stand. Maybe we can't get along there, but we still need to work together. So let's not let our situation get in the work and in the middle of the team success. Don't allow our situation to even get into the way of our success. We just need to keep it professional. I'm not going to say anything negative about you. I ask the same thing. Here's my three closing remarks, family. First one, again, focus on solutions, not blame. That basically means, again, family, just shifting the focus from blame to a more solution-promoted environment. Point number two, identify and address potential stress points early. Just basically get in front of what the particular issue is. If you're starting to see an issue that's brewing, and it can be, it always starts off really small, and where somebody will make a little offhand comment and you're like, okay, where did that come from? You need to get in front of that right now, because there's going to be more that's coming with that. So you need to find out where this particular stakeholder really is at with how they feel about you. And really, let me step back on that. It's not about how they feel. It's about the disruption that they're creating, because they won't talk to you in a one-on-one basis to say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking. And the last and final point is establish and lead with open communication. Again, family, in order to resolve something, you need to be able to have open conversation about and be very transparent about what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Because if you don't do that, again, something little, something small can happen and you can explode, and people would think, why is this person exploding? Why is this person responding and reacting the way they are? Family, I hope this helps you. This is really, truly, conflict is not even just in your career, even in your personal life, is going to occur. But how you address it, like I said, leading with a more focus on solution and not blame, is going to put you ahead of a lot of people that all they do is focus on the problem. Until next time.